Good morning. After a few times of, you know, sharing the message with you, I'm beginning to look forward to it, although still rather trembly. I hope the feeling is mutual and you are also looking forward to me sharing with you. What was I going to say? See, I forgot already. I was going to say, as I came up, something, but anyway. Our church poster board, the one at that corner there, I think it's prime ad space, don't you think?
Yes.
Right? People, our poster is hard to miss. Now imagine one day you're coming up and then the poster read, "No imperfections allowed. Only perfection may enter." You'd be thinking, what possessed the vicar? But you see, "no imperfections allowed" is a statement that seems most inappropriate, right? On a church poster, and I thought, pretty much everywhere. I don't know, if you come up with something that's actually appropriate. But it is fitting when you apply it to approaching a holy God. You see, our God is so holy. In fact, the Bible says, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." He is so extremely holy. Holiness is His nature. And in God's absolute purity, nothing sinful, nothing evil, nothing imperfect can approach without getting fried. So God's holiness is extremely awesome and is also not to be trifled with. That is the principle behind the many purity laws and rituals in the Old Testament for the Israelites. The Israelites had to avoid becoming defiled or unclean, or they all have to be cleansed, consecrated, made clean before they approach God and through an appointed mediator, the priest. And these meticulous standards covered offerings, food, daily activities, bodily fluids, and even skin. Okay, and that brings me to our passages, the ones that we read today. And now I remember what I wanted to say, and it's so important that I say it. I wanted to say to you that you will know by now that I often get really excited when I share from what I've prepared. And I hope you're not distracted by the theatrics, but that you hear what the Spirit says to you. Okay? Not whatever, but I pray that it is the Spirit and God's Word that ministers to you, for you. Okay, that was important. So our readings about the leprosy. We have two readings today about leprosy. One of Naaman, a highly regarded commander of the Aramean army. And the other one from Mark, a nameless person. I'll be sharing mainly from the Mark passage, the intention for this specific miracle and how it applies to us modern day Christians. Okay, some clarification. Biblical leprosy refers to a wide range of skin ailments and even some types of fungus that grow that can affect stone walls, leather, clothing, and it's not necessarily the leprosy that we know today as Hansen's disease. Nonetheless, skin ailments were greatly feared by the Israelites because there was no cure then. The only remedy was isolation. Isolate until the priest... until the condition is no more and the priest can declare you clean to readmit into community. And in severe cases, the law requires the afflicted to live in isolation, and consequently it makes the sufferers feel the stigma and they feel like outcasts. So here in Mark chapter 1, it is the beginning of Jesus' ministry. He comes into Capernaum and he's teaching with authority. He drives out demons. He heals various diseases. And the people were awed. Like, oh. And the question on everyone's mind was, who is he? Who is he? And Jesus goes around and he proclaims, The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. So, on one occasion, this man was full of leprosy. He came to Jesus and he begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." And we can learn from this man's request that God has the authority to heal. He has the power and he has the authority not to heal. And what God gives is good. What God withholds is also good. I've said this before, I'll say again, troubles, hardships, sufferings, sickness, diseases, death, they are the realities of the fallen world. They don't come from a good God, but God can use them to reveal his good purpose, and his purpose exceeds our expectations as it is in this specific miracle. For through this man's affliction, Jesus is about to reveal his deity. This specific healing of this leper that day. Where am I? So often, God works through our earthly troubles and afflictions to reveal also our true state. What is that? That we desperately need him. Why must it be revealed to us? Because we don't see it. Look at Naaman. Naaman was after a cure. He also had leprosy. But God was after his heart. And through his affliction, he learned humility, because to accept your true state requires humility. And he also found God. We read in Psalm 30, there, verse 2, "O Lord my God, I called to you for help, and you healed me." How great is that? God, help me today, my circumstance. He says, "You know what, Dara, I will heal you." So that why? So that the next time I face similar circumstances, I'm not going to cry out in panic, because I'm healed. I know God can fix that. Humans are short-sighted. We find it hard to see beyond the present circumstances. But God sees us with eternal eyes. I don't even know how that looks like. And so that's why when we cry for help, now God sends his healing for us to be with him forever. Forever. I'm going to come to our true state. I don't know if you are if you're considered a great person in society like Naaman, or if you consider yourself just ordinary. I know that no one is immune to sin. Okay? All of us, don't be offended when I say this, are leprous at heart. We need cleansing. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:22 tells us. Now, as leprosy is vile, sin is repulsive to a holy God. As a leper is banished from fellowship, sin bans us from God's presence, because God is perfectly, morally good, and God's absolute purity is also the absolute distance between him and humans. Agree? Well, those are not my words. I learned it. Okay? Now, sin at its core is rebelling against God. God says, all this you can have. We say, I want that one. God says, do. We say, nope. God says, wait. We say, nope. God says, stop. We say, not yet. So you see, sin is at its core rebelling against God, and it incurs his wrath, and God's holy justice demands that every act of rebellion against him must be fully paid. Just? Yeah, of course it's just. Even sinful humans can cry out for justice. Look at all the mess in the world, we say justice. All the more a holy God says justice. So be careful when you cry out for justice. Now, but just as the leper cannot cure himself and is destined for a life separated from community, sinners are incapable of satisfying God's perfect justice and therefore destined to eternal separation and punishment. There's nothing sinful humans can offer as an atonement that can, for our rebellion, that can satisfy God's perfect justice and perfect standard of good. God can only be satisfied by an atonement that meets his standard. Agree? Without atoning for sin, what is left? The consequence, and that I said already, punishment, separation, eternally. But punishment and separation, that's not God's will for us. Those are the consequences of rebellion. What's God's will for his people? His will is that his people are reconciled to him, that creation is reconciled to him one day. So the only atonement that could reconcile us to God has to come from God. And to that, Jesus says, I am willing. God is not only perfectly good, he is the very source of goodness. And God sends of himself, Jesus Christ, his son. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness, so that we can be made perfect and enter. Tear down that banner. Yeah! Doesn't make sense anymore. Verse 41. Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out and touched the leprous man. I am willing, he said, be clean. Immediately, the man was healed. Jesus did the unthinkable, right? Don't touch the leper, otherwise you get unclean. He reached out and touched the unclean. Jesus reached out first. God reached out first. He reached out first to us. We didn't reach out first, he did. Jesus isn't unnerved by our diseases, the stigma it carries. He's not unnerved, he's not intimidated by our sin and the shame that it brings. No, Jesus doesn't back away from evil, he confronts it. Hallelujah, I love it. Jesus is such a hero, I can stand it. I love it. So Jesus confronts it. He comes into our world, he takes our sin, we pinned him to the cross, he takes it. He faces the punishment that sin deserves so that we may receive God's forgiveness and be reconciled to God. That's his will. And Jesus is not here to condemn. He shows us over and over again. And so by his work on the cross, God's people are made clean and can enter his holy presence. Christ brings God's kingdom near. That's why Jesus says, God's kingdom is near. Repent and believe the good news. I was thinking, Jesus, at that time in Mark, you haven't died yet. What was that good news? Now it makes sense. That's the good news. Friends, to hear Jesus say, imagine you're the leper. To hear Jesus say, I am willing, it's like what? It's like to me, the heavens open just for me. And God turns to see our mucky face. And then what? He pours his favor on us. You are drenched in his love. Woo! He picks you up. He cleans you up. And then he clothes you proper. He fills you with his Holy Spirit. And then he says to you, now be clean. Stay clean. So good. So good. Immediately, the man was healed of leprosy. Now Jesus gave the man a strong warning. He says, don't talk about this miracle. Go to the priest now, present yourself, and so fulfill the requirements. We know this guy's a Jew. Fulfill the requirements of the law as a testimony to the priest. Instead, the man went out and he spoke freely, blah, 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 blah. The man was to present himself as a testimony. Why? Because that's the reason for this miracle. You see? Never mind, we see that later. This is despite a strong warning from Jesus, having benefited from his grace. What does this tell us? What does it tell us? It tells us that signs and wonders don't equate salvation. It tells us that miracles are only evidence of God's will. Yes, I'm willing. His power, I can. And his grace, I'll give you. It's only evidence of that. It doesn't equate salvation. Otherwise, the 5,000 over people who ate that bread, they would all be saved, right? So obedience to God's word is the only evidence of a transformed heart. But God is so good, he doesn't say, hey, you disobedient leper, and I'll take away, give you back your leprosy. No. God is good. It also tells us that human nature is so prone to disobedience. We do as we please. So we say things like, oh, but it's such exciting news, isn't it? You can only understand why he wants to go and tell. Yeah, of course, we're human nature. Temptation always seems innocent. It seems exciting. It may even be pleasurable. And so we give ourselves reasons to disobey. Don't give ourselves reasons to disobey. We need God's word to guard our hearts and guide us. We need the Holy Spirit to enable us to obey God's word. Because left to our fallen nature, despite having encountered God's power, his grace, the next minute we disobey. So there is no better testimony for God and other people actually than a life of obedience. God has saved us and called us to a holy life. 2 Timothy 1:9 tells us, salvation is a calling to holy life. Please don't treat it as a get out of jail card, something that you're going to use only at the end of life. Please don't do that, because salvation is a calling to a life set apart for God's glory to be lived every day, today, with the help of the Holy Spirit. Now, that specific miracle, the Jewish priest now has to investigate this leper who is being cleansed of leprosy, because up until that day, nobody other than the Naaman guy has been cleansed of leprosy. Jesus testified to that in Luke chapter 4 verse 27. He says, there were many with leprosy in the days of Elijah, but none were cleansed except Naaman. And Naaman wasn't a Jew. What did that mean? It meant that purity laws about skin and all that the priests have to come and check and readmit you. After Moses gave that law to the priests and the people, it had never ever been a need to exercise the cleansing part. Yeah, many people got leprosy and had to be isolated. But no Jew had ever been cleansed, and so therefore the purity laws had never been exercised. And the rabbis said to themselves, they assumed, therefore, when the Messiah comes, he will be able to heal people of leprosy. Then we will know he is the Messiah. And they were right. And therefore this specific miracle. Now, this guy has to show himself, and then they will have to investigate, and they must say to themselves, Jesus is the Messiah. How does this all apply to us? Do you see the Lord? Do you see the Lord today? Because if you do, a response is required, an act of obedience. What is the Holy Spirit revealing to you today through this passage? What is your true state today? I don't know. Nobody knows. You and God knows. Is there an area of your life that is being confronted by his word and you know that? The Lord is not here to condemn. Are you willing to live according to his word, his will, his way? Are you willing to trust in his good and perfect will for you? Jesus has demonstrated his willingness for us. The question really is, are you willing? That's all I have to share. Thank you.